Hey, Dane. So I decided it's episode 64, right? But I decided I wanted to start it off a little different. You ready? I didn't give you no preface of what I'm about to do.
Yeah, I'm a little thrown off by this.
Ready? Here we go.
Deep think he a DJ and stuff.
Sports and Stuff Podcast, episode 64, Deontay Epps, Dane Beasley, little DJ on the work, you know, on the turntables. I'm shaking my head.
Your wife should have never got that for you. I know you. It's quite possible that you bought this with your own money, but for the sake of me being ashamed of you trying to be hip and cool and stuff, your wife should have never bought that for you. Whatever little soundboard thing you playing with, the little touchpad, the little DJs be having in the music video, she should never bought that for you.
What's the off of the Hangover? I can feel it. Yeah, episode 64 of the Dual Sports and Stuff Podcast. Deontay Epps, Dane Beasley. We appreciate you for tuning in on the audio version. On the video version, I've been slacking on putting the video up, but episode 64 will be on YouTube. I promise you that. So appreciate you listening and watching wherever you are, because you took it out of the time of your day to kick it with your boys. So we definitely appreciate it, Dane. My ace, my guy. How you doing, my brother?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Pretty good. I just cannot wait to eat a chicken breast sandwich after this podcast. So I didn't tell you this. I forgot to tell you this. I'm thinking about food. So my normal breakfast, you know, you take some grits or some oatmeal, you know, muffin or something like that. And I was so prepared and excited about my breakfast. I had two bananas. I had an apple. I brought little Belvita blueberry chips, brought some of those. So excited about breakfast, completely forgot my lunch. So I didn't have any lunch. So I had to ration my breakfast to make it stretch, because I wasn't going to leave the house. I wasn't going to leave the office to go get some to eat, because I'm on this saving kick. Deontay knows it. I'm not telling anybody else, but I'm on this saving kick. So I was like, boom, I'm going to make it stretch. So I was like, all right, this hour I'm going to eat the Belvita. I'm only going to eat half of them. This hour I'm going to eat one of the bananas. Other hour, I'm going to eat an apple. And then, boom, if I get real hungry during this stretch, I'm going to drink this half a gallon of water. And bam, I made it. As soon as I got here, my kid, of course, he's a fanatic for donuts. He loves donuts now. So, you know, I let him have, you know, two donut max a day. So let him have a donut. And I was like, man, them Lay. I'm going to just show y'all. The Lay's bag of chips. And you know the Lay's bag of chips, they go hard with a sandwich. You put like a chicken sandwich and chicken right in the middle and just...
Or you get the ranch dip. Just
Yeah, that too. So so yeah, excuse me if I feel super excited, more excited than usual, but it's not even about... I love this podcast. It's not even about recording. It's about the sandwich I'm going to ham on after this podcast. But I, of course, for the sake of you listeners, I'm just as excited about recording this podcast. Take it away.
Very excited. Episode 64, Nintendo 64 of the Duo Sports. You know how we always used to relate the episode numbers to like player jerseys? I immediately thought of like Nintendo 64 and how GoldenEye 007 is the best Nintendo 64 game. Argue with me.
I mean, the Super Smash Brothers like kind of exists too, but I see where you're going.
No, I like. Interesting. I was never good at Super Smash Bros. That's why it's not on my top tier list. Mario, but all the Mario parties for sure. Mario Party's a staple. Mario Kart. What was another good 64 like staple?
Of course,
Super Mario World. What?
He was on this podcast. The Craig Watts 64. The Craig Watts episode without Craig Watts.
Shout out to Craig, though. Nevada, the Wolfpack, they're doing pretty good. I think they only lost one game this year, but maybe it's the Craig Watts effect. So shout out to Craig. He cut off his dreads. Did you see that?
Yeah, man. I seen the snap. I was like, wait a minute.
I had to reply to him.
Whose locks did he take? I was like, oh, no. Samson has lost all of his powers. Ladies and gentlemen, this man has cut his hair. So I don't want to look at this man Because I always want to picture him with the locks, because that's his identity to me. But now he's lockless, so I don't even want to look at him. So next time I see him in person, I'm like, I'm going to just be like, what up?
I just messaged him on Snapchat. I was like, bruh. That's all I said, bruh. And he's like, it had to be done. It's like, I respect it.
I feel it.
Shout out to Craig and the Nevada Wolfpack. Shout out to KJ and the UTSA Roadrunners, ranked for the first time in program history, 7-0. And the boys are doing the thing down there. As they say, don't eat the cheese.
Don't eat the cheese. Sorry.
Yeah, man.
The Owls, right?
Rice Owls.
If any Rice Owls are tuning in. Apologize. You know what? And it didn't even cross my mind. I forgot to tell you this. Well, my cousin, he was in the building. He was on an official visit at UTSA.
I saw that. He followed me on Twitter.
Yeah, he followed me too after I retweeted the video. You know, he had two picks, pick six the other, few weeks back, and I retweeted it. And I had no idea that he was going to be there, but, his mom, my aunt, she sent us some pictures. I was like, man, that's dope. I was just watching a clip of that beatdown, and now I'm seeing like y'all like they're on the field, and then just brought back all the memories that we have associated with that stadium, because we played in that stadium before. So it's like
2008.
It's like,
let them know, Dave. Yeah, let them know. Yeah, let them know.
We played. So it was
and won. Let them know we won.
We won that game too.
What was that?
Greater Portland
the state or semifinals? No.
It was the game before we got our asses kicked by Lake Chaps.
It was the game before the quarterfinals. Yeah. Three rounds deep. Pause. But, Episode 64 of the 64. Duo Sports and Stuff podcast.
Longest intro of all time.
I know. No, that was a cool intro. Cool intro. I think I had more to say in the intro. What was it? And I forgot that quick. Oh no! I'm a horrible host.
Get these latest chips out of the way. Don't nobody think we gotten sponsored by.
I am a horrible.
But if you're trying to sponsor, hit us up.
Lay's potato chips.
Trying to get Lay's.
Daryl, it was something else I was gonna say in the intro, and I forgot. Oh, I'm letting the people know what we're talking about today on the podcast.
Oh yeah,
Let's give a rundown.
Last week
we talked about Urban Meyer. And how he was a wild boy. Last podcast. Yeah,
very wild. Very wild boy.
A wild boy, right? So, I guess there were more coaches that wanted to, be on the pod and have us talk about them being wild, because we have two more coaches to talk about today that's definitely wild if you haven't heard about it already. Coach O, Ed Orgeron of the LSU Tigers. Well, at the end of the year, he won't be there. And John Gruden, longer with the Las Vegas Raiders after some stuff surfaced from about 10 years ago. So we'll get into that. We'll talk about Adam Schefter and his sports reporting ways back in the gap as well. In our nerdy news segment, it was DC fandom this past weekend on Saturday. And we had a new trailer for The Batman. We have a sneak peek, first look, exclusive look of Black Adam. We got Langston trying to be on the pod again. Respect to my guy Langston. We love you so much. We got the another glimpse of The Flash. So we'll talk about The Flash.
Ooh,
and then MCU tonight, Monday night, October 18th, is the world premiere of Eternals. So all those like blogs and movie critics and all, they get to go see the movie tonight, and I'm sure there'll probably be little descriptions about, hey, this movie is gonna change the MCU forever. It's all the stuff that we hear about MCU movies when they drop. And then MCU delays got announced today, unfortunately. I'll talk a little bit about it, but I'm glad I didn't see Spider-Man on that list, so we're still on track for Spider-Man this year. Hopefully that holds. And then there was an announcement for who's going to be Adam Warlock in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So that should be fun. That should be fun to talk about. But yeah, man, episode 64, Coach O, man. Coach O is a wild boy, Dane. Our second wild boy in as many episodes.
Hey, tell the people, because, I knew that they were going to be parting ways a few days ago. I heard about that from another podcast I listened to. And I was like, oh, man.
You listen to other podcasts, bro, besides the duo?
Yeah, it's the Players Lounge, it's Dallas Cowboys podcast with Barry Church, Danny McCray, and Nui Scruggs. It's Emmy Award-winning Nui Scruggs. But I was listening to that. I was like, oh, Coach O's leaving. Well, you know, shout out to them for mutually parting ways. Hopefully to go out with a bang. And then I seen what happened on Saturday. I was like, that's not going out with a bang. Well, it is going out with a bang if you look at it that way. But you said there were some other details. And I was like, well, I guess I've been living under a rock these last few days, you know, just clouded in the midst of all these dubs the Cowboys were getting. So take it away, man. What's going on with that? What's happening with that? Man,
so there had been like rumors and reporters reporting these little things about what has been going on in LSU since they won the Natty 2 years ago. And I think his record is like 8-9. Maybe he got to 9-9. With the big win over Florida this weekend, but there seems as though Coach O has kind of got the championship from 2019, let it go to his head. So there's a report from the article or from the Athletic that has a bunch. It's a very long article, so check it out if you get the chance. But one of the things that kind of stuck out to me was him losing control of the locker room, his staff, coach is not one to coach under him. Players not one to play under him. And I remember Ed Orgeron from the USC. He was an intern at USC, and a lot of people wanted him to stay on as coach there, but he didn't. He didn't end up latching on. I think that was in 2017, if I'm not mistaken. But ended up at LSU, and you know they won probably one of the most talented title teams in recent memory with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, all those guys on the defensive side as well. But from the article, it was just basically saying when one of the titles of, you know, the section says when football became secondary. And it kind of went into, and I won't go into much details, talking about his divorce and how that's played a role and to, you know, how he's been with the team and stuff like that. But one interesting part of the article itself is talking about how during practice, Coach O's girlfriends, quote unquote, come to practice and their children participate in drills with players. And if I'm thinking about that in my head and I'm a player and I'm just thinking, what the hell is going on here? Like, we're supposed to be an SEC school trying to, you know, be who we are as LSU, and our coach, it seems like our coach took a book out of Blue Mountain State or something, and, you know, just kicking his shoes back on the desk and got his title and just on for the ride for however long. It seemed like Coach O was a coach that really was just there at the perfect time with the perfect staff that he had back in 2019, the perfect players, and he was there for the ride. What you think, bro?
For one, I'm appalled and I am disgusted to run a locker room or a group of young men who have, of course, the goal for most young. I'm not going to speak for every young man in the world, but you're a collegiate athlete. The next best thing in that particular promotion process would be to make it to the NFL. To make it to the NFL, you know, not only putting out good tape, but to have good and respectable people vouching for you, because there is a scouting process that comes with it. And part of that is having someone who's capable of holding people accountable. That doesn't seem like the sounds of or the characteristics of a man that's capable of holding people accountable if he's having things like that going down in the locker room. Now, of course, it's all very hilarious when you think about it that way. But when you're not thinking of how this could affect the livelihoods and futures of plenty of young men, with no idea, or correction, we do have plenty of ideas of the backgrounds that some of these guys come from, and football and college is an escape or a way out, or a transition, if you will. And they're not afforded the right, an equal or fair opportunity if that type of activity or lack thereof is taking place in their locker room and on their facility. So hopefully it gets itself sorted out and there's some level of accountability, but, if that's my kid, I'm pissed off because you're literally telling me without saying such that this is a joke and this is just a game for you But, you know, my kids are here to get an education, and we're here to play some football and potentially go to the next level. And that can't happen with a coach like that. So it sucks for the players more than anything. Not laughing at the players, just laughing at the idea or just the image of it. You know, you getting in, we're doing ladder drills as a wide receivers. We're doing ladder drills. You get 1 foot in each of the little rungs without tying up the ladder rung. It's a practice, you know, some sort of agility and quickness. It helps you, it translates to the field in terms of getting off the line, you know, making people miss, things like that. And of course, just building that agility and quickness. And then you got somebody in front of you that's not even on a scholarship that's related to the girl that your coach is dating. And it's just like, what the hell? So the image itself is just a little misleading. It's just some bad taste. Yeah. But hopefully there's somebody they could reach out to, like, you know, redirect it and get things back to some sort of normal. Because I'm sure that wasn't what led them to get, you know, get that title 2 years ago. So,
yeah,
that's all I got to say about that.
Like, even with, you know, the LSU program as a whole not being as great as it was in 2019, and you got the stuff behind the scenes. I don't know if you remember, Dane, with the Darius Geis situation.
Yeah.
Multiple reports about, you know, rape accusations for students on campus when he was on campus. And I think he, you know, even had some issues in the league since he got in the league. He's not on the team anymore. I can't remember exactly what it was, but
I think it was a domestic violence situation, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Just in general, LSU has been under investigation for a lot of stuff concerning Title IX. And so it just seemed like time for him to step down, because LSU is not in a good spot athletically and even behind the scenes with those situations. Kind of to a point, like you mentioned, a coach that could come in there and kind of guide them to success. And, you know, the first thing that I saw, you know, I'm a Baylor fan, so a lot of connection Baylor with David Aranda has been brought up since David Aranda was a defensive coordinator there when they won the Natty. Joe Brady, of course, is now with the Panthers. Carolina Panthers is offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he can use it out right about now.
Man, yeah. If he's looking for somewhere to go, like to, that's, you know, become place. A head coach, I feel like LSU would welcome with open arms. I think Dave Aranda's name had been brought up a lot, but his demeanor, I don't know if you ever heard him speak, Dane, but when he talks, bro, it's like he has a calming presence about him.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like a Yoda vibe.
Right. And he doesn't fit. I don't think he fits what they want at LSU, like the culture there. Like, LSU is so rah, rah, rah. And he's like the opposite of that. Right. And so
Maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need to step away from the norm and think outside the bus a little bit in the hiring process.
They could think that way, but I don't know. I just feel like they want, not to say David Aranda isn't a big name, but I don't think
the big fish.
He's the big fish. And I don't think he wants to leave yet. I think out of like what he's different than what Matt Rhule was, as far as Matt Rhule knew that his ultimate goal was to get, you know, to the NFL, and he achieved that through his stop at Baylor.
I don't think remarkable success.
Yeah.
His path was like boop, 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 boop.
Right. So I don't think Aranda really, I think this is a good spot for him, like, especially who he is as a person. Like, Baylor's a Baptist, you know, Christian university, and that's who he is. And I think that's like a perfect match for them, like each other. And I think Aranda would be I don't think he would fit that LSU culture. One name I think would be really interesting, and I don't know if you would want to go there, is freaking Lane Kiffin. Imagine Lane Kiffin going to LSU.
Yeah,
as crazy as Lane Kiffin is, as crazy as that LSU like fan base, I think that would be an interesting way. I don't know if that is even in the rumor mill right now, but I think that is a match for the way the cultures of both, you know, entities are. So
Lane Kiffin, he's under whose coaching tree? Was he under the
Saban?
He was under the Saban coaching tree, right?
Yep. One of the many.
Oh, Lord.
Shout out to Jimbo getting his first win. being the first assistant to knock off Nick Saban, by the way.
Yeah, crazy. Unranked team at that, too.
Yeah, man. So,
That's a lot. That's a lot. I don't know. Hopefully it ends well because there's too much talent.
LSU is always going to get. Yeah, they're always going to have that pipeline, Louisiana, Texas. Like, they're going to get players from everywhere wanting to play for LSU because what they have established previously, you know, through the years, and especially with that 2019 title.
Those guys deserve to have the opportunity to make a deep push and get to the Natty again. It's just not enough to be a great player and to be at a university. At least that's my thought process. Like, they deserve much more than that. They deserve a better quality head coach base. And of course, I have to do my own research with the accusations and the things that have been going on there. But based on what I've been informed by my colleague, who I trust very well, I believe there needs to be some things that change. And that starts with that coach or lack of him. So shout out to
we'll see
them.
how that progresses for sure. Another coach, Dane, that we found out was Wilding, could have still been Wilding to this day. Have we seen some emails from 2021? We never know. Ex Las Vegas Raiders coach John Gruden stepped down a few days ago, and for some reason, my Broncos lost to a team without a coach. But we won't go there. But John Gruden got let go. Actually, he resigned from his position as head coach of Las Vegas Raiders due to and. How this came about, Dane, is very interesting. You remember when we talked about the target. So there was a law firm that was investigating the Washington football team's emails, talking about everything that they went through with their previous GM, Bruce Allen, I believe his name is, and came across some interesting emails from Sir John Gruden, man, back in 2011. And in 2011... there were a lot of interesting things said from Mr. Gruden about Colin Kaepernick and about Michael Sam, who, if you don't know who Michael Sam is, he was the first openly gay athlete drafted in 2014 by the Rams and Jeff Fisher at that time. And basically, in these emails, John Gruden had said that NFL was forcing Jeff Fisher and the Rams to draft him because he was gay and forcing that agenda. He had comments for NFLPA president DeMaurice Smith about his lips. Man, it's crazy, bro. 2011 and
went in his bag for that one, man.
He got in his
racist bag for that one.
Yeah. And you know, it's crazy to think about because we're in 2021 and all these like agendas as far as what the NFL is trying to push to end racism in the end zones and on the helmets.
And you got this from
2011. And then you realize that these things are, it's from 2011, but for it to come out now, we're still fighting through these things. We're still not at the point where this is like not going to be an issue, right?
Yeah, man. See, here's the problem, Deontay. What incentive do coaches have to not be disgusting, horrible, bigoted human beings? Aside from this, like obviously public shame, the loss of a job. And I say loss of job opportunity with an asterisk because, about 3 or 4 years, he's going to pop up with a job and like nothing's ever happened.
And he's still getting paid right now as we talk and record this podcast.
But there's no incentive for these type of people that have this hate in their heart there's no incentive for them to turn away from the things they've done. Because we're seeing right now in real action through many, 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 many excuses of empowerment that this is okay. Because before a lot of the content of these emails were exposed, he had dudes lining up. Oh no, he's not a racist guy. He's good. Like your Tony Dungy's of the world. And I'm like, bruh. And then as soon as all this other stuff comes out, I'm like, you look real foolish right now. You look real foolish right now, tap dancing for this dude who probably wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire, judging from the context of some of these emails. But the crazy thing to me about this is he wasn't even the original target. Like, you ever been at in a gathering of other people, and someone happens to be the butt of the joke, getting made fun of, everybody's taking the turn to make fun of, And then everybody turns around and says, oh, what you laughing at? You want some too? And they start making fun
of with your big,
That's exactly what happened to this man. Sitting up there minding his own racist business. And all of a sudden he gets a text message from his agent. Like, hey, we need to talk ASAP. And he has, you know, little fire alarm emojis in the text message. Hey, what's going on? He's like, hey, man, this is bad. He's like, well, they got you in the email saying some racist. He's like, oh,
did you really send this?
Did you really send this? Well, yeah. Don't you see the size of those lips?
When it first reported and they asked him about it, I can't find the article or quote.
I don't have a racist bone in my body.
It was that, but he had said something like, I don't recall saying something. Like, he said he couldn't remember if he said it or not. And I'm like, bro, you know damn well if you sent that email. Like, and there should be no question about how you feel, like, back in 2011.
The crazy thing is, not only were you... This guy was saying via email. There's no telling what this guy was saying behind closed doors.
In person, right.
Exactly. So, I can't imagine... Speaking of, you know... let me get back up. For the Raiders to move on the way that they did, for them to go ahead and get that dub after getting their asses kicked the previous, was it Thursday night game? Was it a Thursday night game?
I can't remember who they played.
It was a night game.
They played the Chargers.
They got their butts kicked. But for those players afterwards to be trying to put on a spot like that, you know, reporters asking them, how do you feel about this? Like, you asking the wrong person. Obviously, the dude is no longer the coach of the Vegas Raiders, so he obviously can't account or he can't be held accountable for those things in front of a mic without, you know, his press release that's going to – his little press run is going to happen in like 3 or 4 years when he's trying to get his job back. He's going to be up there kissing, you know, little different black babies and stuff like that on TV. And so we're going to see that. Just wait for it. He's going to be like 4 years.
He's going to be back on his TV. His Gruden redemption tour in 2025.
And he's going to put out like a little book or newsletter. This is how I overcame bigotry. And it's going to have like him like
this. Probably going to go to Barstool and some stuff. Man.
Crazy, something wild. But anyways, putting the players on the spot to not answer for the coach's actions, but to like, how do you feel about this? Black players, your coaches, you know, said these racist things. Or even one of the NFL's openly gay players. Like, how do you feel about your, you know, coach, you know, saying these homophobic things and using these slurs? Like, I understand the media has a job, but at the same time, it's like there's a time and a place for everything, and you can cut the tension with a knife when you look at some of those interviews, because some of the players are just like, no comment, you know, no, I ain't got nothing to say, and then players taking leaves and stuff like that. But it's a shame that that has to be the reality for some of these players, because someone that they're supposed to be running through walls for has said some things that are beyond forgiveness, in my opinion. But here we are, so.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're going to do. ESPN obviously has a lot of vetting and a lot of work to do in their hiring processes and ensuring that stuff like this doesn't happen. But it is kind of shady how they kind of sidestepped a lot of the blame for this as well. Because,
yeah, he was hired by them, you know, when he was doing the Monday Night Football stuff for sure. Yeah. Speaking of which, you know, now, like at the time before we were recorded, when this came out, you know, everybody's clamoring for those. Because apparently there are 650,000 emails that needed to be searched. And you know, people are like, okay, Gruden said this, but...
What's Jerry Jones? Jones has said?
All the owners, you know, that we feel some kind of way about, it's like, okay, what did they say? How did they...
Them emails are never going to see the light of day.
And so did you...
Unfortunately.
Did you see the report yesterday that they... Or, yeah, yesterday, right? I think they came out
said there was nothing else out of all hundreds of thousands of those emails.
Marcus Spears of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. He tweeted, bruh, and had the little gif of him having his feet up on the desk.
Yeah. There's a crock. It's a whole crock, bro. A whole fancy crock. You can't sit up here and try to tell me. But another thing about that, another caveat about this whole thing is it's very complex and has many layers. That contract, an $100 million coaching contract in
10 years.
Word on the streets is he may or may not be trying to fight to get some more of the guarantees from that contract. And in order to do that, of course, would have to lead to some sort of court decision. And in order to do that, he'd have to prove
Are we going back to the under under what is it?
In order to essentially legal talk, and I have no type of legal background.
We need to get a sports lawyer on here.
I wonder who that could be. Anywho, essentially, the only way for him to get you know the money that's wrongfully owed to him would be to prove that there was some sort of distress involved in the decision for him to step down. And to do that, he would have to, you know, essentially go into the pretense that these emails were released, you know, outside of my control. No, I'm not saying I admit to these racist things, but there's racist things that I've said and these homophobic things that I've said, or they shouldn't have seen the light of day, is the argument it's going to be. And that, I think that's probably the only way that the rest of those emails will, you know, will be discovered, quote unquote, because there's some other stuff there. We know it's there, but you know, that's one less racist, homophobic, misogynistic coach we got to worry about in this league. And hopefully hopefully it's going to be a lesson for the rest of the bigots out there. But I don't think this is the last we're going to hear about it, especially if these emails will come up 10 years after the fact. So, you know, it takes all of us. So here's to that, whatever the hell that means. So.
Well, we need to look forward, you know, come together as one. It's crazy, though, that this email story has a lot of different branches and avenues to it. And one of the like minor stories that kind of came out about it was our boy Adam Schefter, who apparently around the time of the 2011 CBA agreement, I think it's a non-story, but I think it's funny how Adam Schefter, like how we know him as such a breaking news kind of guy. And I think he had a scoop on this somehow. Well, that's the thing I was going to bring up, how he has been questioned before about his techniques as far as how he gets certain information, especially with like the Aaron Rodgers stuff. And this particular story was basically, I don't have the article right in front of me if you're listening or watching, but in a sense, there was an article that he wrote in July of 2011 about Bruce Allen, the then GM of the Washington football team, and how they were going about the CBA and things that were happening in the organization at that time. And he had sent his whole story, article, whatever, to the GM to be edited. He called him Mr. Editor, and if there's anything you need to edit or you see anything wrong, let me know and I'll change it. Basically, he has said this was about CBA negotiations. And so what's interesting is a lot of people came and talked about how Adam Schefter, this is wrong practice or whatever. It got so bad, he came out and made a statement about how this is not how you're supposed to go about it. I should have went about it differently. And my thing is, like, how often does this happen where media can, or media subjects of different articles have kind of this power? Like, especially how we always see stuff that happens with the owners, how the owners are always in control of.
They always control the narrative. Every single time.
Yeah. So I think it's very interesting taking a step back again, like with stuff that happened like 10 years ago in 2011, and like put our thinking cap on and like, I wonder, did that just, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So this is obviously if you don't know already, the NFL is still an owner's league. We see the NBA and the power that a lot of the star athletes have. And we see that it's an amazing thing. And it has a lot of different layers and miniature dubs, if you will, for the fan bases. But as long as the NFL continues to operate the way that they do, giving too much power to these owners, you're always going to have these players cowering and going the way that they do. And you'll always have these people like Adam taking advantage of that. Of course, he already got in front of it, you know, saying, hey, this isn't the right way to do things. But at the same time, it's like this. When I came across that, the first thing I thought was like, he just has too much power. This is the same guy that's essentially teaming up with Kraft, if I'm not mistaken, about this whole little gambling app, right? This little this little sports gambling app deal. And it's just like, y'all don't see a conflict of interest in that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and of course, the rules are written by owners. This would be different. And of course, they're collectively bargained by the NFLPA, but we all know that's pretty much a joke. Not the NFLPA itself, but just the strength that they have access to. It's pretty much a joke. So who's to say that that's something is real suspicious about it?
Yeah.
Like, super suspicious about it. Like, I'm good on that. Like, I don't want the person that I don't want the person that's responsible for creating sugar to be the same person that creates the cure for diabetes. Like, I don't want that.
Sitting on both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, sitting and eating on both sides, literally. And that's essentially what you're seeing here. You got one guy that's responsible for being the face of breaking news, and then you have an owner, or I don't know what he is. Crap, yeah, it's an owner. He's the owner of one of the most powerful football franchises of this century. Probably the most successful franchise that we've seen of the decade. Whether we agree that it's because of the coach or because of the quarterback.
The previous decade.
Yeah, previously on power. So you have these two powerful individuals who there's a super conflict of interest there, and somehow they're collaborating for a business venture that has something to do with gambling? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't add up to me. The math is not mathing, as they say.
It don't add up, Chief. It don't add up.
Nah, it don't add up. Yeah. So, I mean, it's already a tough it's for people that live in the eyes of the public, like these athletes, it's already tough as it is for them, being these, you know, beacons of supreme athleticism and having to be poked and prodded like they're zoo animals. It's already tough enough for that. But then you add another layer that this particular person at any particular moment can find out information or release information to the public before they even get a chance to acknowledge it and let it soak in before they can get in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous. That's all I'm saying. But maybe I'm just a conspiracy nut and maybe I'm just thinking too much into it, or could you definitely be onto something. So
10-4 do-rag, bro.
I got my 10-4 do-rag on. You already know it. You already know it. So we'll see how it goes, man. But I don't like it, Deontay. I don't like the smell of it.
Smell like... Don't smell right.
It don't smell right at all.
Don't smell right. All right, now it is time for...
Fuck that sound.
Our nerdy news segment brought to you by our guy Keith.
Shout out to Keith.
Dang, I caught Dang he was eating at that moment when he was supposed to say that. So that was his mouth. His mouth was full.
He's lazy. Can hate you, man. I was eating some Lay's chips, man. Some taters if you will. Party
some
time.
Tater chips. As we mentioned at the top of the podcast, DC Fandom was this weekend, and I think this is like the third year for DC Fandom. They started doing this annual premiere event where they premiere their latest movies, shows, video games, and stuff like that.
Products.
And products, of course, of DC that's coming up. And what what mostly everybody is talking about are the new The Batman trailer. We got a first look at Black Adam, and then we got a sneak little teaser that kind of felt like a first look of The Flash. Mm-hmm. And I would tell you, Dane, I think your opinion is going to be kind of different than mine. I think out of all three of those, I was most excited about The Flash. Mm. And I think it's because...
Interesting.
...of the Flashpoint...
Really?
DC animated movie that I saw that you made me watch.
Oh, that I made you watch, or that we as a group were supposed to all be watching so that we can converse about it.
You're not supposed to say that in front of the listeners, man.
Tell me this, Deontay. Out of those 20 some odd movies, how many have you watched?
Are we not talking about that, bro?
No, we're talking about DC fan. This is about accountability.
I watched Flashpoint.
You can round up too. You can round up.
Flashpoint. I say three.
We had this conversation a year ago.
Yes, I know.
Now this whole conversation is on halt because of you. You?
How?
Myself, Brody, and DeMar. We can't talk about this until you fit and until you catch up because there are some breathtaking performances and content that was discussed in some of these movies we can't even talk about. So the possibilities of some of these movies that we have, the live action movies, we can't even get into that because somebody's not doing their homework.
Flashpoint, we could talk about. Or
we can't.
The Flash.
We can't. Because there is a lot of ground covered in the DC animated universe. We can say what you want about the DCEU and how it's, you know, lackluster. A lot of it isn't cohesive. The continuity is, you know, suspect. But the DC animated universe? Damn near perfect. But it's a shame. It's a goddamn shame, Deontay, that we can't continue this conversation because if your ignorant ass not wanting to watch the rest of this DC animated universe in a timely fashion. But anyways, let me hop off my high horse real quick and get down on ground level. Look you eye to eye. Well, sort of, because you're talking
back.
To me. Look
Are you back?
I'm back.
All right.
Anywho, I'm most excited about Black Adam. And here's the thing.
Before you get into Black Adam, I thought that segment with The Rock was the I don't want to use the word corny, but his dialogue made me laugh.
Here's the thing: did you hear about that rap performance?
No, yes and no, because I watched like 5 seconds of it and I stopped. I couldn't take it. You talking about him rapping on that song?
Yes. So
no, I couldn't take it.
In comparison to that monologue that he gave before the reveal of the first look of Black Adam and whatever hot garbage that he put out on that song, this was Shakespearean. What he was saying was some Shakespearean stuff. No, that's how garbage. If you don't know what I'm talking about, do not go looking for Dwayne Johnson rapping or attempting to rap. Do not go looking for it. If you want to ruin your day, if you're already having a really bad day and you want to hear somebody that's having a worse
somebody
day than
on
you,
Twitter said it was a Republican rap. I said, if The Rock don't get out of here with this Republican-ass rap. Republican-ass rap. Oh, man. But that part, bro, of the fandom where he was like, the hierarchy of power of the DC universe is about to change. Yeah, I was like,
yeah, I'm like, I can get behind him trying to sell me a product.
Yeah,
but I cannot
for sure,
get behind is my guy up here trying to drop some bars, and he not even on. I mean, he's sort of on a beat, but he wasn't. It was just bad. It was bad.
Yeah. So why are you excited for Black Adam, bro?
Man, did you see what he did to that boy?
I did.
Turn that boy's whole body into freaking ash, like choked him, held him up, and was like, And I just want to see him beat a whole bunch of DC superheroes' ass because he's an anti-hero. He's between the lines, not a hero, not a villain. He's like same vein as Punisher, sort of.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
So I cannot wait for him to beat asses on both sides. I can't wait for it. But that's what I'm looking forward to the most because of that. Just the idea of the content that we're going to get. The person that I know is going to kill it is Robert Pattinson. Like, he's going to kill it.
And with that movie, The Batman, coming out in March, it's definitely...
Allegedly.
We thought the Dark Knight trilogy was dark. It was. But this is going darker and grittier than that, which I'm excited to see. I'm excited to experience Batman in another realm because, you know, we've seen Batman in the comics or in animation even, because I actually watched Batman Year One, the animated movie. But this story, the actual live action, the live action Batman, I think this is supposed to be Batman year two. So he's still unpolished, still trying to figure out how he wants to be as Batman. But I think what's interesting is in what we've seen and what I've noticed so far in the trailers is that we know Batman like in the comics and like are the Adventures of Batman and Robin, which is probably one of my favorite cartoons, like more of a hand detective. And like detective, but also fighting style, like more but like martial arts type Batman. But this one, jiu-jitsu. All I've seen is him just beating dudes' asses, just brawler style. Look,
let me tell you something. What I've been dying to see from a Batman movie is capture in the 5 minutes of Batman versus Superman in that warehouse when Ben Affleck's Batman was,
and this whole movie dudes. Looks like that whole warehouse scene.
The whole movie looks like that times 20. That's the Batman I grew up on. That's the Batman I know. So him eating bullets and then breaking people's arms, like legit, what we saw in the first trailer when they showed him beating dude in the face and they just kept going. I was like, dang, yeah. Woo! Like that's
right.
That's what I want. Like that's what I need. I need. that's exactly what it is. So Pattinson, I'm counting on you, my boy. We watched the whole Twilight saga a few months ago and was like, you know what? This is okay. Not bearable, but it's okay. Good entertainment. Mm-hmm. Now I want to see something from Pattinson. It's like, you know what? This is really good. The acting is good. The storyline is good. The love interest is good.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to see.
Yeah, this... I'm excited for the grounded level. I mean, it doesn't feel like a superhero movie in the sense that, I don't know, it just feels more grounded, more, like, we know Batman is a superhero, but, like, in this one, it just, the whole feel of it is more horror than superhero.
Gritty.
Like,
grimy.
Gritty. I think that's, So, yeah, from what I've seen... The first two trailers, man, it just seems like a different take. Because we've seen, like, multiple Batman over the years, obviously. And this one,
Than others.
Okay, dang. Anyway, this take on
the... Can you truly say that you can appreciate what we're going to get if you haven't even seen the DC Animated Universe with over 20 movies? And you've only committed to less than 5?
I'll just get committed to the live-action Batman. That we've seen thus far.
You can appreciate that, and you can appreciate the animated. You know,
I didn't say.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in bullying this man and chastising him as he finishes watching, because that's the only thing that's going to work. I have no other recourse. Look, I've known this dude since elementary school, and I can't even convince him with my own words. My own two eyes have seen in these 20 or so movies have been incredible, and I've conveyed this message to this man so many times, which he still hasn't taken heed to. But it's okay, because I have faith that the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast fan base will chastise and bully this man to submission so he can watch these movies, so he can fully appreciate what we might see on film in March. Mic drop.
There you have it. Dane has dropped the mic. DC fandom was
dope. You should be ashamed of yourself. And you call yourself a podcaster? Comic books and sports?
Something like that.
Deontay. When's the last time you missed a Broncos game?
Unfortunately, I've never missed a Broncos game.
Tell me this, Deontay. When's the last time you missed the Baylor game?
It's been a while.
Tell me, Deontay, have you completed?
No, necessary... Dan, no.
Okay, you already knew I was going with this. So if you don't neglect your sports teams, but you're going to sit up here and neglect the DC Animated Universe for the sake of it's not as important? Man, say, we got some things to talk about. Anywho, ladies and gentlemen... Oh, go ahead. My bad. I was about to take over your job. I'm sorry. I don't know what got into me. My bad. Let me back up. Go ahead, man. Do your thing.
That's why I need Dane, y'all, because Dane always, every time I'm up here in the sky, Dane brings you back down to earth.
And still don't listen. This is like fourth time I brought this up in the podcast. This man still ain't watching. At this point, it's just neglect. He don't want to be great.
Said I don't want to be great. So shame, shame. switching to MCU. Unfortunately, there was news today that Marvel Studios, Disney has decided to delay Doctor Strange 2, yeah. Thor 4, Black Panther sequel. And man, so the Multiverse of Madness, Doctor Strange 2 from March 25th to May 6th, Thor Love and Thunder from May 6th to July 8th, and Black Panther Wakanda Forever from July 8th to November 11th. The Marvels has been postponed, which is Captain Marvel sequel, has been postponed to early 2023, and Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania went from February 17th to July 28th, 2023.
Sheesh, they heard me.
Does it have to do, and I really didn't get to read this article, did it have to do with the recent strike of like the filmmakers and production companies
it might have.
I think it's coming like on a 90-day strike.
I think they're trying to get ahead of it so it doesn't come with a huge shock 2 weeks before the movie comes out. Hey, y'all, remember that movie we told y'all was going to happen? That's not happening anytime soon. Like, I think that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Judging from the pulse that I've been receiving, but
yeah,
this is all stemming from bad capitalism. And you might say, hey, Danny, boy, is there a good capitalism? You're right. This might be stemming from something really, really bad, like capitalism. So,
here's the
thing, man.
Oh,
go ahead, D.
Sorry. Take it away. I cut you off. Good, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
Mine was on completely other side where I was saying, I mentioned this to you before we hit record, how I was very happy to not see Spider-Man No Way Home on that list. So
you trying to talk to a hiccup or talk to a side?
I know, a burp, a burp. I was talking to a burp.
it was like, hey, man, I just want to tell you something right now. I don't care what they say about you, bro.
But I'm the worst podcaster on the planet, man. Anyway,
there,
I was talking about before we hit the record button how I was excited to see that Spider-Man was not on that list. So I'm still crossing my fingers. There could still be a change, but we're less than 2 months away from that movie, which I think is going to be insane. Of course, Eternals, the premiere of Eternals is tonight for the moviegoer or the critics and all that stuff. That'll come out in November. What are you about to say? I see a look on your face.
I was about to ask you, have you seen Venom yet? Two?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh,
I haven't
2?
Seen it yet. I need to go
2?
See it.
I no, I didn't it. Watch 2.
I haven't seen it.
I just saw the post-credit scene.
Oh, I have not seen that. So I need to hear about that.
And we talked about how hyped we were about Venom 2. And then I got online and everybody was trashing Venom 2. So I didn't want to waste my time.
I don't care about going to see a movie and it being bad. It's just I'm still paranoid about going. And I know.
Oh, yeah. You might as well wait for it to hit streaming services then.
Man, say you right, but
or hit that plug on the link.
Pause. You're right. It's just like, man, like I just don't feel like being around people like just coughing, like just being around people in general. I consider myself a very outgoing person, but you know, since the pandemic hit, I just gotta find myself like, oh, you mean I gotta go outside with those other people out there too? Somebody could be all in my personal bubble, like next to me, like. They took away the little spots in Walmart where you're supposed to stand. Like, here, 6 feet apart from here. This is where you're supposed to stand. They took away the things in my local Walmart. Oh, no, not my local Walmart. My local Costco. They took them away. So, man, this person was like, they was like real close in my bubble. Like, you know, when I was waiting to get to the line, I'm like, you know, like looking. I'm like, hey, man. And so, you know, I'm just little stuff like that. But anyways, beside the point. You were saying, my bad. Apologize, got us off topic.
Like, no, I was just happy I didn't see Spider-Man on that list. But I mean, I'm cool with the other movies being delayed. I mean, I don't have a choice but to be cool about it. But
like you got
I was definitely excited for that Doctor Strange in March. So two more. Actually, it's less than 2 months because it was at the end of March. It was supposed to be released. Now it's like towards the beginning of May. So a little more or a little less than 2 months from that spot. So. I still think that's probably going to be the dopest movie of this phase. All the possibilities that could go down. You know, we talked about that on previous episodes. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, whatever Marvel does, I mean, I'm not going to question them on it because
of course not.
Feige is that guy. He's that guy.
He's that dude, man.
Yep. And to close us out, Dane, last story, Will Poulter cast as Adam Warlock. in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And we haven't seen... We saw that one tease of Adam Warlock in the post-credit scene from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And that was like 9 years ago. So I wonder how they're going to kind of spin that. But what's your thoughts on him being cast as Guardians or as Adam Warlock? I only remember him from a few things. And the one show I remember him from, I know he's played in a lot of stuff, and I'm not really a movie person like that besides superhero stuff, but I remember him from an episode of Black Mirror, the Bandersnatch episode.
Gotcha. I have seen
what else was he in?
We Are the Millers.
Didn't he play
comedy?
Oh yes, and We're the Millers. Exactly. Yeah. Yes,
was,
thank you, Dane.
He was he was a sting still now. It just
The son from We're the Millers, if you've seen that.
He was also, I believe he was one of the people in Detroit, which details some of the one of the more horrific nights in Detroit. A lot of racial elements in that movie.
Okay.
So I didn't see him in that, but I read reviews about his performance. They were really good.
I always get him mixed up with the old boy from Friday Night Lights.
Sorensen? Dude from Breaking Bad.
His friend. His Sorensen's friend.
Yeah.
I forget.
He was in Like name? Mike.
Landry Clark Mike. From... Yeah. And Like Mike. Yeah. Boy, Landry.
I can see that. Both got that dumb look on their face. I got you. But yeah,
That's another cool movie that's going to be dope. This Volume 3, though. James Gunn. Whatever he decides to do. Which is also the end of... He's been saying it's the end of the Guardians trilogy. So whatever happens at the end of this is going to be the end of the movie. Maybe you see some spinoffs of characters in other movies and stuff, but it's supposed to be the end.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
I mean, they should be really happy. They were technically C-listers that got a primetime slot. So shout out to the creative geniuses that said, you know what, we need some fresh blood, something new.
Yeah.
And they just hopped over everybody in the line. So.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. I'm happy about this. I'm excited about Adam Warlock, the character, because he, again, is going to push the limits of the new power level character. So.
The hierarchy of the MCU will change forever.
Yeah. Good. I don't mind as long as you don't pick up a mic again to rap. We are good.
Oh, man. Episode 64 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. We're going to get out of here. Dan, you got anything to say before we dip?
Keep your distance, wear your mask, get vaxxed, and don't cough in people's face or sneeze like in people's face, because that's disgusting. You know, horrible human beings who decided to do that. Make sure you wash behind your ears, man. It's just disgusting. You don't wash behind your ears. Like, honestly, if you don't wash behind your ears, you just ain't cool at this point. Like, that's all I gotta say.
You're nasty.
Nasty.
We're going to get out of here. We appreciate everyone tuning in on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, all those great things. Episode 64 of the Duo. Until next time, we out.